Hi, Steve.
Yes.
You have to do attendance if you're good with that. Can you hear me?
I'm sorry, I didn't understand that. Try one more time.
We are good to start and do the attendance if you're good with that.
Oh, okay. Thank you. This is the last month, at least for this year, that I'm going to be doing this from here. So let me go ahead and call the meeting to order. This is the Tucson Parks and Recreation Commission meeting for the month of September, on September 27th of 2023. You want to take care of the roll call now, please?
Yes, please. Okay. Chair Steve Pogue.
I'm here.
Vice Chair Becky Quintero. Here. Commissioner Munroon Getsy.
Here.
Commissioner Robin Roberto.
Here.
Commissioner Asu Navarrete.
Here.
Thank you. We may proceed.
Okay, thank you. The next item is the approval of the minutes. Does anybody have any additions or corrections to the minutes of the August 30th, 2023 meeting?
I'll make the motion to accept.
Diana, have you been notified of any changes that need to be made?
No, I have not.
No. Okay. Well, then, if I don't see or hear anybody who have additions or corrections, then I forget, does this board vote on accepting the minutes, or do we just file them?
Yes, we vote.
We vote on them. Okay, then I'll entertain a motion to approve the minutes of the August meeting.
And you didn't hear, but Becky had made a motion to approve, and Madam
Getsy seconded. Oh, wonderful. Okay, you're right. I did not hear that. All right. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye or raise your hand or whatever it is that we need to do.
Aye.
Opposed? All right. That should take care of that. Let's go on to the next item, which is the call to the audience. At this time, any member of the public is allowed to address the committee. Speakers are limited to 3-minute presentations. Pursuant to the Arizona Open Meeting Law, individual committee members may ask that the matter be placed on a future agenda or respond to criticism made by speakers. However, the committee may not discuss or take legal action on matters raised during this call to the audience. I do know that Jennifer had requested to speak. Do you have any others, Diana?
We may. We have someone by the name of Christine with a hand up.
Okay.
Christine?
What order would you like them to go in?
We can start with Jennifer.
All right. Jennifer, if you would please, you have the floor. Remember the 3-minute limit, though, please.
Thank you, Steve. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I think so. Okay, great. Thank you.
Thanks, Steve and Diana, and thanks to all of you for this opportunity to speak to the commission. I'm Jennifer Shoplin. I'm the chair of the board of directors of Friends of Rio Vista. We're a science-based nonprofit organization that partners with Tucson Parks and Recreation for ecosystem conservation at Rio Vista Natural Resource Park. And I'm here today to ask you and park staff to help Friends of Rio Vista and other stakeholders with a smooth transition in the implementation of the Rio Vista Master Plan. I'm hoping that all of you had a chance to read the letter that Diana kindly forwarded to you yesterday, so I won't repeat the details of that, but I'll just give you a quick summary. For the last year and a half, Friends of Rio Vista has been part of an informal steering committee for the development and implementation of the Park Master Plan. And Tom Fisher was Tucson Park's wonderful project manager for Rio Vista. Unfortunately for us, we lost Tom to retirement earlier this month. And Greg has let us know that a new project manager may not be assigned to Rio Vista for a couple of months at least. When Tom left the department, there were a lot of issues still pending about master plan implementation. And one of the most important of these was the review of a proposed plan for trail modifications and revegetation for watershed management groups. Friends of Rio Vista and allied stakeholders are deeply concerned about whether many aspects of this plan are sustainable or even feasible. We submitted extensive comments on the plan to Tom, and we also submitted a report on an online survey on the trail system that we conducted with our community. We didn't receive a substantive response to either one of these, probably because Tom simply ran out of time. In any transition to new management, it's so easy for previous work to fall through the cracks through nobody's fault. And that's why we need your help and the help of department staff. We'd like to ask Tucson Park staff to continue to engage Rio Vista stakeholders through the informal steering committee and to consider all previous submissions and previously stated concerns when the new project manager is assigned. And we'd like to ask that the commission be kept in the loop about the transition to new project management. And maybe this could be coordinated through Commissioner McArdle as the Ward 3 representative. In any case, we'd be happy to provide background documents to you, the commissioners, if that would be appropriate and helpful. Tucson Parks has created a one-of-a-kind master plan for a one-of-a-kind park. Please help us to keep it successful. Thanks so much for your time and for your devotion to our Tucson Parks.
Thank you very much, Jennifer.
Sure.
Okay, Diana, did you have someone else?
We may. Christine, you have your hand up. Hello, Christine.
She's on mute. That's good. She's on mute.
Christine, you may be on mute.
She's trying. It's not working.
Christine?
We can see you. That's progress.
You scared her.
I scared her off. Like the leopard in southern Arizona. Did she call it a leopard? She had a short call.
Diana, do you have anyone else that wishes to speak, and then we can come back to Christine if she can get that cleared up?
We do not.
So we have one speaker in the room. So Christine, I have a recommendation. Maybe log out and I see. I don't know if that's the same Christine. Yeah. Yay.
Okay, I was on my tablet. Sorry.
But you need to disconnect the other one that you had on because we're getting some feedback. There you go.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, sorry about that. I apologize.
It's okay.
I wanted to get it to speak on the tablet, but it wasn't working. Are you there?
Yes.
Just go ahead.
Okay, well, it's my first time here, so I don't know really how this works, but I'm part of, I'm starting something here for the youth in my little neighborhood in our park, which is on Michigan and Liberty. I was trying to see, find that it's called Rose Greenway, Rodeo Greenway Wash number 1, I believe. And I was trying to find out and figure out how we can get the water there. I know that the lighting came back, but and I was trying to see where are they at, like in the mix of fixing it. And I wanted to, is it the 3 minutes? I'm sorry.
No, you're all right. Go ahead.
Okay, so it's called Rodeo Wash Greenway Number 1 Park, and it's on Michigan and Liberty. It attaches to CE Rose, and also it attaches to 9th Avenue all the way down to Hollinger. We have students that cross through the park daily, and we have no running water. Also, we have youth that go there on the weekends and on the weekdays on certain days, but we have sponsors that provide water to them. So I was trying to find out where in the mix is possible for them to get running water and cut down some of the trees, or if we are able to volunteer our time and sponsor our time to get it running again.
That's two different issues, if I understand correctly, and you can tell me, Christine, if that's not correct. One of them has to do with drinking water in the park, which I'm very familiar with, and the other has something to do with cutting down trees.
Yeah, well, see, the children walk through the there's like a little bridge right there, and the kids walk through the trail that goes all the way down to 7th Avenue. And I believe it's Illinois. I want to say Illinois, if I'm correct. And the trees are like lower level. They're not cut down like enough for the kids to go through. Yeah. And the running water, hasn't been no running water in a while.
So yes, we have a park in my neighborhood that has the same problem. So I'm sure they have a list of the areas that need to be repaired, and we can have staff research that for you and get that information. As far as the low-hanging trees go, that's a different issue and a different person, if I remember correctly. So staff, who would that question be,
Christina?
Be delivered to?
Christina, my name is Mike Hayes. Can I give you my email address? Shoot me an email, and I'll contact you tomorrow morning.
Okay. Yes, okay.
It's Mike.Hayes, H-A-Y-E-S.
Mike.Hayes. How do you spell that?
H-A-Y-E-S.
H-A-Y-E-S.
Tucson.
A-Z.
AZ.gov, and I will work with staff in the morning, and I'm familiar with Rodeo Y, so we will we'll work together with you on that.
Zero also did it. If you look in the chat, we have two staff members that also posted his email, so that way you can make sure you've got it correctly.
Okay, it's Mike.Hayes, H-A-Y-E-S, Tucson, AZ.gov.
Tucson,
right.
Yes.
Okay.
Very good. Thank you, Christine.
Well, thank you, guys. I appreciate that.
All right. Diana, anyone else before we go on?
Check in the room. Yes. John Vistani would like to speak.
The gentleman in green. Also indicated. So, here in Denver.
And your name?
My name is Mark Albrecht, and I just have a question, which I probably can't get answered today, but I play golf a lot over at Randolph, and I read the stories about the walking path that they're trying to put in the middle of the golf course, Malvern on over to Randolph here, and I just haven't heard anything about it for a long time, and I wondered if it's still happening or if it's process. I was told at the golf course that they're going to have to redesign Del Yurick to make room for this walking path. And when I asked the guys at the golf course about that, they don't really have any idea about the timetable or how they're going to do it. I've been playing golf there 50 years almost, and I'm just curious as to how they're going to make this work so people don't get killed trying to walk down in between two golf courses. We had a lot of crooked shots.
Thank you, Mark. We have staff that can research that and get back with you. I'm sure that Laura will make sure that person knows that they need to get in touch with you.
Greg just left the room to get his business card to provide to Mark.
Thank you.
To help you.
All right. Very good. Very good. Diana, do we have anyone else that would like to speak this afternoon?
Thank you for remembering my name. I have a copy of the note I got from the Department of Justice telling me that they were forwarding my complaint about the Tucson dog parks to the Department of the Interior. Since 2019, I've been trying to get the Tucson Parks Department to not put gravel in the dog parks. We asked them in 2019. We sent you a letter, you know, in 2021. The Tucson attorney said that the Parks Department would review all the Tucson dog parks and take appropriate action. Since then, we've had two people break hips in the dog parks with gravels. We've had people not be able to rescue their dogs from aggressive dogs because they can't get across the gravel to get to their dog. I've had to stop using Tucson City dog parks completely. I go to Pima County parks because I can't afford to slip into gravel. So that's what I have to say, man. It's like we told you for years that gravel is a problem. Parks Department has been shrugging their shoulders and discreetly giving us the finger. We asked you 2 months ago to set up as a topic. You asked the Parks Department to notify the community that dog parks should be on the agenda. Not one peep. I checked the dog parks. Not one notice on the bulletin boards that they do have there. So I'm going to ask you to give me 10, 15 minutes next month to discuss the Tucson dog park situation. I've got a lot of information. I've been using them for 20 years. I've spoken to scientists. I know the issues about valley fever. We've got problems with valley fever in Long Park. We got people not going to Reed Park because of valley fever. Just found out somebody thinks they got their dogs parvo in the Reed Park dog park in the small dog section. So great that you're building us a new dog park with Greg, but the fact that you're letting people break hips and dogs get sick in the other box is not acceptable. And I'm taking legal action, and I'm sorry that I've had to do that, but it's like I've been begging you for 4 years to keep our dog parks safe. 3 out of every 5 Tucsonians own dogs. I can't tell you how many people I've met that say they take their dogs to Marana. They take their dogs to Oral Valley to the dog parks because they don't want a chance their dogs getting sick. Each of these dog parks in Tucson 15 years ago, 20 years ago, had a vibrant community. A vibrant community. There was a group of people who would work with the Parks Department every month. They would meet with someone from the Parks Department. Each dog park had a group. I chaired that group for several years. We worked hand in hand with the Parks Department, raising money for renovations when they were needed. In 2019, when we requested help because after Pat Weber had left as Parks Director, there'd been a lot of turnover, and the dog park had gotten ignored. We had dead trees broken down, fallen down inside the park. I had to take a picture and send it to the mayor because it was so dangerous to get it removed. So I would like to see
your 3 minutes is up, please.
Yes, I'm going to just finish in one sentence. I would like I said, 15 minutes next month to discuss this issue at length because it deserves it. I'd like to get the other thought. Excuse me. But that's basically it.
Okay, we have a report on our agenda today that has to do with the dog parks. So after we have had that, then the board can decide if they need more information. Do we have anybody else that's supposed to speak or wants to speak this afternoon, Diana?
We have one more.
My name is Bill DuPont.
Bill DuPont.
And I'm just going to express.
Hey, Bill, go ahead.
Yes, my name is Bill DuPont. I live across the way at Colonial Solana. And I'm concerned as Mark here, who I didn't know was going to be here because we just volunteered the gardens, concerned about golf balls and the bike path pedestrian path being between two golf courses, knowing the speed of the golf ball is about 150 feet under. We've had issues with baseballs flying out of high orbit. And in our neighborhood, one of the grandsons of one of our residents has sued the city because of brain damage to that child. And this is a serious issue, and I don't know why risk management hasn't stepped in here. As you know, on Randolph Way, you can go down my neighbor's streets there on Randolph Way, knock on their door, and they're going to show you buckets of falls. And the broken skylights they've had, broken windows they've had, broken solar panels. So this is a critical issue as far as safety concerned. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Bill. Diana, would you mind moving the agenda a little bit on the screen so that I can read what the items following this are? Thank you. Very good. Very good. All right. Again, thank you very much, Bill. And if I understand your questions or your concerns, it has to do with the walking paths and the possible bicycle paths that are supposed to coexist with the golf course in your neighborhood. Is that basically it?
With both golf courses. You're talking about something that's down the middle with two golf courses.
Okay. Thank you very much.
I also worked on the retention base.
Okay, Diana, do we have anyone else?
Anyone online? So no, we don't.
Okay, thank you very much then. Let's go on to item number four, which is the dog park report. And Lara, is that you or is that someone else?
It's me, and we have to share. Yes.
Go ahead.
Hold on a minute. I understand now why you were saying that. Okay. We were talking the mechanics of how to share everything earlier. So I'm going to share this, and then I'm going to put it into PowerPoint mode, which is okay. What am I doing wrong? Let me try that again. 1 second.
Go back to your PowerPoint down there. Yeah. And then see where it says present in Teams. Oh, there. Okay. Or you can just go to the present.
That's what I did.
Should
I do that? Why am I not finding what I need? I usually do it from here.
I think
there you go.
Yeah.
You see it?
Yeah.
Are you good?
Okay. Thank you. Okay, so the next 3 slides I put together based on information that I was able to obtain from risk management and the city attorney's office, as well as some historical assessments that have been done for the Parks Department. So this first, I'm going to move this over so it's easier for me to read. I asked the city attorney and risk management office for any open claims or suits related to dog parks. Going back 3 years, which is the time period that I've been here, the earliest one that they could find was from 2021, which really wasn't a dog park claim. It was where an employee of the Parks Department was attacked by a homeless individual, and the attacker ended up being seen in the dog park, which is why the dog park was referenced. And I meant to point out, so what the claims manager told me was the filter used was event description contains dog park. So this way we can make sure that anything pertaining to dog park, which is why you're going to see a variety of different things here. The second claim came in April of 2022. Related to fire damage to the playground near the dog park at Jacobs, so that's why the dog park was mentioned. In November of 2022, we did get a claim from a resident regarding her dog that was that encountered, I'm going to say it wrong, Choya Cactus, close to the fence, resulting in the dog having spines in the nose and paw. And then February of 2023, there was a vehicle that damaged the fencing at the Columbus Park Dog Park. And then recently in March of 2023, 300 feet of fencing was stolen from the dog park or damaged along the dog park. That was all that the claims manager has on file. And the city attorney's office told me that anything that is considered an open case or open lawsuit would be reflected within this report. That is currently all that they have.
Oops, good.
So,
thank you.
Then,
Adam's case is still coming up then.
These are all of the active cases that they have. So then moving to the next. I have a feeling. Okay. Sorry. Hi, John. Go back. Okay. In 2021, July of 2021, we engaged Bill Parks. He, at this particular point in time, was the employee that the city had to go out to do any assessments related to ADA accessibility of parks in general. So we asked him to visit all of the parks, dog parks, and I listed here a quick summary from that report. Christopher Columbus, he identified that we had a missing connection or a sidewalk to the small dog park or access gate between the two areas, and that at that time only the large dog park was accessible. Coincidentally, a few months ago, we triggered to go ahead and do an update because we were also putting in a brand new water fountain. We wanted to make sure that was going to be accessible, so we took advantage of that project to add in the walkway or the sidewalk access into the small dog park. And I can't remember if that addresses the access gate as well.
Yes.
And the new water fountain was being installed yesterday, and that would then complete the project. Jacobs Park was compliant, no findings. Sixth Avenue Dog Park sidewalk to the dog park access gate was not compliant. He measured the drinking fountain height, which was compliant for wheelchair access, and the sidewalk to all the amenities within the park was considered in good condition, and so therefore, other than the sidewalk access into the entrance component, it was determined accessible at that point in time. Reed Park was compliant, no findings. Palo Verde, compliant, no findings. Udall requires a sidewalk to the water fountain and the Ramada, and that is currently being priced and to be scheduled. And Purple Heart was compliant with no findings. So that's a summary of what Bill Parks did in 2021. However, because we had the finding of the accessible ramp or the sidewalk, which had a slope that was not compliant at Sixth Avenue Dog Park, is when we engaged our folks over at Environmental Services and Facilities Maintenance. And coincidentally, at that same time, a gentleman, Dylan, I knew his last name, Miles, had recently become a certified ADA coordinator. So the advantage for us was he was a project manager who was going to be able to lead the concrete work that needed to happen for the entrance into the dog park at 6th Avenue, but we also asked him to go ahead and do an ADA assessment of this particular park. So, results from that particular assessment and the recommendations that he made: reduce the depth of the gravel. So at that time, we did do recommendation to fix the area around the water spigot / fountain to have a more secure access and less chances of triple fall. That was completed. Fix the slope of the ramp and access into the park as it was too steep. Completed. I included in here.
Is this handle needs to be replaced again? It's broken again.
Thank you for that feedback.
You're welcome.
The lever style handle, we had replaced it already by the time Bill went out. And then, of course, I just listed it here because I wanted to make sure we captured that was something we had done. And then we removed a handicap railing because there was concern about the accessibility through the gate. We did confirm through Dylan at the time that the entrance into the park, the pathway to the shelter in the park via the concrete flooring, and then the stabilized route of that's DG that goes around the circumference of the park to the water spigot was considered the park ADA compliant.
And it's now impassable because the gravel is moved.
Excuse me, ma'am. We're in the middle of the staff report.
So the one thing I wanted to include in here is just some of the language that federal regulations have regarding accessible standards for parks. So, you know, I did do research back in 2021, and I did recently do some research. There's currently no adopted ADA standards when it comes to dog parks. But what this language here talks about is that it requires the inclusion of features within the park, such as parking spaces, routes, toilet facilities, public telephones, spectators, seating areas, etc. The reason why I highlight that is one of the features that Dylan confirmed for us is that the DG, stabilized DG pathway around the park makes the park accessible because you can traverse around the circumference of the park. If you go to any of our parks, whether doesn't matter what the flooring surface is, you will find that the picnic benches or tables, the Ramada, other than the one that we need to run the walkway to now, and the water fountain will be accessible. The entire park is not expected to be accessible because that would be, that would almost be onerous on any municipality to make 100% of a park accessible. What's important is that all of the features of the park, they have the ability to access. So by way of that, the two independent individuals that went out and inspected our parks have deemed that we are compliant. And that concludes my report.
Okay. Excuse me. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Did you have anybody else, Laura, who was going to speak on that particular topic?
No. I can't. I mean, certainly I'm open to questions if there's anybody else that you'd like to speak with. Unfortunately, Dylan is no longer with the city, so otherwise I would have had him attend. But he left the city, so I just had to rely on reports that we had.
Okay. All right. Do any of the members of the commission have any questions for Laura?
I
don't hear any. Do you? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yes, it's Robin, Steve. I do think
Robin.
I don't go to dog parks. Just a acre. And I'm curious about, I know with facilities, they're inspected annually by Mr. Management. How does that go? How do those inspections go with dog parks? This was the 2021 report. So is that just something that's done by staff on a regular basis as far as you
have? Typically, it would be because we have made a request for one reason or the other. In 2021, Ms. Visconti had reached out. She had concerns. We were trying to figure out, what exactly needed to occur.
In 2019.
I mean, I can only speak to for when I was here.
I understand that.
And so that's what prompted it. The other thing was that when I had started, we had a lot of discussions because I was familiar in Miami of having ADA resources for inspections and stuff. I found out even speaking with Pima County, we don't have those resources here. And so that's what prompted both EGFD and the Office of Equal Opportunity to pursue their staff, two staff members in the city, to become certified in ADA coordinator inspections. So that's what allowed us to get Dylan. I don't know if this, I'm pretty sure at this point in time EGFD doesn't have a certified because they're currently just partnered up with us to recruit for a project manager. And it could be something that we pursue long term, but right now we're we're trying to replace almost all of our project managers. So,
thank you. Questions from the commission members?
Yes, Steve, this is Becky.
Wait. Okay, go ahead, Becky.
Thank you. Do you spray the dog parks for parvo and belly fever? Do they get sprayed for antibiotics or whatever? Do they spray?
So, yeah, we clean them, but there's no spraying, and then there's reports that you go to Pink County Health, and then they let us know if there's something adding to the park that is a problem.
It's the point of whether there's no spray that will
correct. That's right. There's no use clean them, is what I'm getting.
So you spray
the fungus is inert
right.
until the rains come. Then there's no.
The 12 years cap press covering the ground kept the fungus down. It kept valley fever down. That's why Pat Weber maintained grass in all of the dog parks.
I can't hear the staff. I can't hear the staff because of the audience.
Apologies.
I have a question. Sure. How often does the park end up getting you money for to replace non-working water fountains and dog parks? And I have had a lot of dogs, and one of the things I noticed that really is that there's always stagnant water, and that's simply we got ready to transfer diseases because it's not draining. And I think part of that is the sand and stuff that gets in. But they're also just not working. I was in there the other day, there's just one area that we have two more. So how often can you guys get
it? Can we repair often? We can replace. Me all the time because of the cost. But yeah. I mean, they're about 14,000 requests with the tree.
How many reports do you get to fix stuff like that? And a lot. So I can, so I, only because if you talked about water fountains in general for the city before Dominic left, he was our irrigation supervisor. From what I recall, it's 450 water fountains are in the entirety of the park system. And he was working towards the replacement because half of them had issues. And he was making pretty good progress. And where it was possible, he would rehab them. So there were certain units or designs that he could take the interiors out and replace. And then there's others that we had to order brand new. And also to his credit, what he recognized is there was a period of time that water fountains were just thrown into parks without a lot of thought. And so when he recognized that a park perhaps had a water fountain every 10 feet, I mean, I'm not saying that that's specifically what he found, but they were so close in proximity, he would try to do a selective reduction. Also, because a lot of the cast iron that's in these parks that are aged also would be sourcing to those water fountains. So today, John sat on our irrigation supervisor interview, so we're hoping to have someone new on board that'll pick up that mantle and continue that program. But you're right, a lot of the times the dog park fountains, the dogs are kicking up dirt, they're running around, when they're slobber, things fall off of them. So it's hard to keep them unplugged, but the best thing is to use CEQA Fix. Let us know. And then we try to get out as quickly as we can.
Is Dominic still in the city or no?
No, he's over in the city of Marana.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. We have an opportunity to get someone new. New ideas, new energy. So, that'll be fine.
Good. Thank you.
Okay, do we have anybody else who wants to, on the commission that has any questions about the dog park report or any of the other items that have been mentioned during this report? All right. Hearing none, seeing nobody waving their hands, let's go on to the next item, which is the Alamo Wash. And that would be who, Lara?
That would be me, Mr. Chair. Greg Jackson, you take this one. September last month, we had a number of people call the audience. We got to be here again today and request some information on Alamo Wash. And just as a point of reference, Diana, can you share that map? Many people may not know where the Alamo Wash is.
Right. Oh, cool.
So Alamo Wash
It is part of the Pima County Regional Trail System Trail Master Plan. So that's a plan that was adopted by the Mayor and Council as well as the Pima County Board of Supervisors. That plan has been updated a couple times, most recently in 2012. And the Alamo section, which you see here, had a more detailed plan put together in 2014. It's a future 8-mile trail. I will say it starts or ends, whichever way you're going. On the north, it's at the Rideau River along the Chuck Huckleberry Loop. It's just east of Swan Boulevard. And then the other terminus is on Escalante, just west of Prudence, and actually connects the aviation bikeway. So it's actually an 8-mile stretch between those two current existing bike and pedestrian elements. This is a project in Prop 407 in phases 2 and 3. Dr. Sparks for a full detail on the design for this. I would probably reach out to DTM and invite them to a 407 meeting. They can detail it much better than I can, but they gave me a couple talking points. It's budgeted for a little over $13 million in Prop 407. That likely will not build the whole thing the way costs have escalated. When completed, it would actually connect 10 parks and 8 schools in the 8-mile stretch. So you would open up a lot of opportunities for people to be able to walk to school, walk to parks by just getting on that greenway. It goes through 3 wards. It impacts wards 2, 4, and 6. One of the questions that was, is land acquisition going to be necessary? Yes, there will be land acquisition necessary to complete this trail. We're going to try to minimize that, but there's no doubt there's going to be more elements where we have to purchase land. Currently, DTM is estimating it's going to cost more like 2.5 times what we have budgeted. It's probably closer in the $33 million range. Obviously, they've got to figure out how to bridge that gap. They're looking at federal grants that might be out there. Those grants might not be available to get a more defined design completion. Typically, once a greenway is built, DTM will take a little bit lead to build this. Typically, Parks and Recreation then takes on the operation maintenance of the greenway afterwards. So that's kind of a high level of what the greenway future looks like. But if you want a more detailed dig into the design, DTM will be the department to reach out to. They're going to lead this through Prop 407.
Anybody have any questions for Greg? I don't see anybody.
Yes, clarity.
Diana from go ahead.
Jointly owned by the county and the city. It's all within city property. We all see right away.
Are you saying county?
There's a system Parks and Trails Master Plan that has all the trails that overlap beyond the city boundaries. It goes up to Brana, goes into unincorporated areas, goes into Oro Valley. So there's a master plan for all trails that goes throughout the county. That this is one of the trails that's on that list. There's like 300 on the master plan. But this is one of the major trails that's on the plan. So it's a larger network of trail system with the hope that it'll be developed long term.
Are you seeing about the kind of costs and questions that most of your projects that you're seeing with this?
You're seeing some escalation, but not that much. Yeah, it's really high.
Anything else as far as questions about the Alamo Wash situation? Okay, seeing none or hearing none, we'll go on to the next item, which is item number 6, the old trees lost to weather systems. Whose is this, Laura?
This is going to be John Bonilla's first presentation to you all. This is our new wish, superintendent.
Yeah, I know we spoke about previously trying to track down all of the old trees and trees in general throughout the parks that were damaged in the storm, the major storm that occurred, I believe it was July 20th. And at the time, putting this together, following our last commission, was actually able to attend. This is where I'm not here to proceed and give any help.
What was provided to the board in advance was what's the report that you've got? No.
Okay. I'll send it over, but I'll make sure we get it out. There's a list of 30 parks that we came up with that were hit by that storm, with a total of 42 trees that were removed, and 30 parks that, including total 30 parks that suffered some sort of significant damage. We're still working through trying to identify exactly how many trees. This is what we could come up with based off of invoices from contractors and immediate tasks that were created right after that event. I'm still working with our staff in the field to identify anything else that we may have done in an immediate response to that. So I know that we have a couple other reports of trees that have still some high-ranking damage that we still need to engage with another contractor to be able to get to those. But that's about where we stand right now. I'm hoping within the next 2 to 3 weeks I should have a final count of where everything stands, because we did have another storm maybe 2 to 3 weeks after that that caused some more damage. We're still battling crisis.
Are you replacing trees that have been down? When one comes down, do you replace it with like more trees?
So I know that there is a plan. I'm not super familiar with the plan that is part of Tucson Clean and Beautiful and Tucson Water's plans with plant replacement and tree replacement. As of right now, we have not been replacing anything due to the damage and the amount of work that it takes to actually
take them out.
Yeah, take them out, and then you have to find a location to be able to put a tree and run irrigation to it in, you know, specific areas that aren't affected by others too.
And the original plan was 2 for 1, 3 for 1. So once we get the numbers and get cleaned up, whether they go in the same park or within parks in the vicinity, it was 2 to 1 or 3 to 1 for everything that was possible.
Thank you. And we can get more diligence.
You can talk to Mayor and Council.
Okay.
So this is a larger question that I have. Given all the research I've done, it's been pretty considerable the last 3 years on trees and carbon and climate change. Our older elder trees are absorbing far much more carbon than our younger trees can. And I have a real interest in getting a better holistic idea of just how many older elder trees we're seeing to have their system adhere to a variety of situations, including storms, but also construction. Because the last 3 or 4 trees in Green Park, the construction they never had. They took them up and down. But these are trees that people have used and are in pretty good shape. So between that and various other types of construction and the fact that we're having a hard time getting these trees trimmed, even though we supposedly have surplus in our government funds last year. So is it possible to start looking, you know, you're piecing together things through, you know, contracts and looking at who's doing what where, but is it possible to actually have some little department that's just sort of tracking how many are going? Because it's possible that we could really use this information in order to save ourselves a lot of trouble in the future.
So I am aware that our GSI and mapping person does have a annual survey that she does, and she puts that together based on how many trees we remove, and that's typically put together from our asset tracking software. So there is something in place that we could be utilizing on a more frequent basis, but a lot of that information comes from the field when those things are being handled to get that, you know, in that moment. So it's on us to make sure that we're managing the field personnel to make sure those tasks are being taken properly and accurately tracked on a regular basis.
I know when I look at my credit card statement, I'm generally amazed at how much money I'm flinging in certain directions, you know, so it's like you don't know.
Right.
Right, until you actually see it right in front of you. It can be a little jar. You can figure, you have a better sense of what's happening in the moment. So I would love some more information about that, and, you know, it becomes a little bit of maybe, you know, whenever that comes out, sending it to the commission, I think the park aspects of it, that would be helpful.
Absolutely. If you would like, you can reach out to me directly. You can kind of discuss the parameters of what they're going to perform, and we can work together to get exactly what we want.
So I also want to mention that Nicole Gillette, the urban forester for the city, she's about 50% through doing an actual tree inventory citywide that's sitting on all public land. And part of that is not just identifying, and I believe they're also being, what's it, GPS tagged? But also condition assessment. And that's why it's taking a little longer than what she initially had planned. And then, from what I understand, her intent is to then work with all the departments on when there is a tree removal or something going on related to trees, being able to capture that too. So what John is talking about is probably more in-house and could be short-term, but I would definitely encourage, and I will talk to Gillette and Nicole, if she'd be willing when she has the final assessment to come in and talk through what was discovered.
I know that Dominic and Lunch mentioned that they're just some really amazing trees on city property, whether they're in parks or not. And it would just be so amazing if we could really get those tagged and even maybe put them on a tourist list or something, you know, like they do murals. So. All right. Thank you very much, Dominic.
Okay. Anyone else have any questions or comments about item number 6, the old trees lost? All right. Seeing or hearing none, let's go on to item number 7, which is the TPRC awards. I have one observation, and that is in the materials that I read at the top of the page, it said there were 7 individuals who were nominated, but I only counted 6 blurbs. So I believe the blurb for Alex Valencia was left out.
It was included in the packet as a separate PDF document.
Okay, I did read that. Yes, yes, ma'am. Okay.
So I did want to bring up that we did observe that there were 2 individuals, Pastor Bailey and Vanessa Cardenas, that there was no mention of a direct park nexus on the nomination. So I asked Diana, and she reached out today to them directly to kind of see what is their connection, if any, to parks. I'm not saying that you can't award to them, but just wanted to bring that up because the intent, or at least the whole awards program, from my understanding, was to basically highlight those that are doing good things within the parks community. Other than that aside, you have in front of you all the nominations, and so would recommend that you decide amongst yourselves how you would like to proceed. Certainly, this is a different turnout than last year where we had a lot more, but this is a very manageable amount.
That is correct. And I noticed the same thing about those that there didn't seem to be any direct connection to the park, so I appreciate you pointing that out. What is the pleasure of the commission as far as deciding, who or what? I saw that we had, the individuals, the 7 individuals who were nominated, and then 1 from the nonprofit status and 1 from the, team status.
It's what your pleasure is as the board, what you want to do. Once we have direction, then obviously our intent would be to we'll make up the certificates and we'll have them ready for presentation in December. Diana would reach out to the winners, the awardees, and invite them to participate in our event, our lunch event.
Okay, members of the commission, how do you wish to proceed? I believe the items for the pastor and the other one, if I recognize that really didn't have any direct connection to the parks, would have been the nomination in the nonprofit status. Is that correct?
I think so.
Yes.
Okay. So what is the desire of the commission at this point as far as those especially those two, that would be, you know, one way to start, that do not seem to have a direct connection to the parks?
Well, one of them is a past Parks and Rec employee. Interesting.
Okay.
Is it a
female? No, but that's
I'm sorry, I'm having trouble keeping track of the voices.
Okay.
You're
sideboarding.
What needs to be decided? Let me get focused here, because last year it seemed incredibly easy. There were a lot of people, but we had some sort of...
So last year we had, I think, over 30 nominations.
Right.
So because we had that volume, we provided you the ability to rank them, and then we aggregated the scores to then proceed. In last month's meeting, we decided we were going to do a maximum of 3 per category, expecting that we were going to get that same volume. Of course, now we're dealing with something a little different. And so I would just say it's up to the board to decide how you would like to proceed. If you want us to provide you a mechanism to vote in that same fashion, especially with the individual where you have seven nominations or 6 nominations, we can certainly do that. It's up to you as a board.
What is the pleasure of the commission at this point?
Thank you.
Yeah. We're deep in that.
Last year this was incredible. We're fighting for time.
what are the 3 categories? Individual, nonprofit,
and team. Right?
Team.
Right.
You only have 1 team.
Right. Yeah. Right. So that's the team.
So that's the nonprofit, you will have to decide if you want to proceed with that one or not. And then you have 7 individuals, but again, one of them, you have to decide if you want to keep him in or not.
Oh.
So it's just a matter of deciding the direction, really, for... So you've got 3 decisions. The 2 people that you don't know if they have a connection to parks, are you going to keep them in consideration? And the third is of the remaining 6 individuals, how you want to proceed in handling them. Do you want to review and vote for the top 3? Do you want to just pass them all through? You have your options.
So I'm confused. So we've got this nonprofit, but we're not sure if the nonprofit person is associated with parks. Is that correct?
I'm very, very sure about her. If you have any questions about it.
Okay. So you know. Is it Ada has to send out and ask for more clarification for them about how they're...
Sure. I mean, certainly we can, and that's what Diana has done.
Okay. That would be good. And the time frame for this... What's the time frame that you need to absolute?
So we could, we're in what? September. So we could have a decision in October. What I would recommend, though, is if you want, so one, we can get the information from the two individuals about how much they actually do with parks and send that out before the October meeting. And then in regards to the seven individuals, we would just need to know from you, do you want to vote to keep it to the top three like we discussed last meeting, or do you want to consider advancing all of them? And if we do that in October, that gives Diana enough time to get everything ready for December.
I'd consider advancing. I'm wondering who the nomination for the individual that is not the individual who's not a Parks and Rec employee. Was it a Parks and Rec employee that nominated that person?
Because you said this went out to citywide, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, then yeah. How Scott B spoke too.
Oh, did it?
Yeah. So it could have just been a member of the public.
Oh, yeah. I see.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah. I mean, I don't recognize the name affiliated with the nomination of the pastor. And I don't know what the relation is, but I mean, the person that's nominated for the nonprofit is Maria Cardenas, and the person that nominated her is Vanessa Cardenas. So there could be a relation there. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think it should be clear that, you know, from my perspective, I don't think there's anything to say that what they're doing or serving in the community is not a value. I'm just trying to bring us back to the center of we put this out there to recognize people that either partner with us or...
Well, and Maria does because she gave financially for the Quincy Douglas Vet Schools. She financially supported that. And provides a lot of her personal time. She, yeah.
Well, she uses the facilities that help at Willow Spouse and back to school to and Jackie. Yes. I mean, I know her because she's in the community and she's working. But as far as park employee, she is not.
So to give you an example, last year one of the folks that got recognized was an individual that had volunteered a lot in the building of the mountain bike path at 100 Acre Woods. So someone that we, you know, was a partner, gave a lot of hours, and helped us in terms of delivering park services. But again, you know, the board has the ability to make a decision. So it sounds like you'd like us to advance this to October, right? Am I correct?
Sounds good.
Yes. Do we need a motion for that?
I'll make a motion that we move this to October so that we can make a decision in October.
Okay.
A second.
And if that's happened.
Steve, did you follow?
Not exactly. I'm sorry. I understand the part about moving it to October. What I didn't hear were all the details as to who or what we're going to consider. I'm a little concerned about the two nominations that don't really have anything to do with the parks. I understand that if you can get more information and bring that back to us, that would be wonderful. But otherwise, I'm not sure what they're doing on this agenda because this is not just a citywide recognition of people who have done things for the city. It's supposed to be about the Parks Department.
Yeah, Sierra listed the criteria in the chat.
She did. And I don't feel that, at least under the current information that we have, the two of them meet that that criteria.
I know Maria does. I don't know. The pastor.
Okay.
So what was decided there in the room? Sorry.
So the motions are seconded. It will.
So Becky proposed a motion. Manon seconded. to move this topic to October. And then in the meantime, we'll provide you more information that we have available. And then in October's meeting, we'll decide what you ultimately want to do regarding the individual nominations. And then I think we can agree, we know the team is probably going to advance. So it's just the nonprofit and the individuals that is left up in air.
All right. Very good. I understand it. I will be there in person so that I can participate fully. That is a motion and a second. So do we have any further discussion? I believe the motion is to carry this over to October so that we can get more information, at least hopefully on those two and anything else. If there is no further discussion, then all those in favor of moving this to the October agenda, please signify by saying or waving your hand aye. And then anyone opposed? All right, then that will be on the October agenda with any additional information that we might have. Let's go on to item number 8, which is reports or announcements from starting with the Parks and Recreation Commissioners. Are there any of the people in the audience or online that are commissioners that would like to make some kind of announcements?
Is this a time where we ask that something be, I want to talk about the Friends of Rio Nuevo and yeah.
That'll be the next.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
It's okay.
Thank you.
Your first meeting.
Yeah. Welcome. Welcome, guys.
Yeah. Anybody else have anything that they want to announce?
No.
Or report?
I think I can announce this. Maybe the City Side School Board is on the agenda for October 3rd meeting when we decide whether or not the Bayan Nopal request is on the agenda for info action. Just FYI.
Thank you. I keep getting asked, so that's great to know that. Yeah. Thank you.
Anyone else from the Parks and Recreation Commission?
Yeah.
I don't hear anyone, so let's move on to staff report.
Am I going first?
No.
You're going first?
I hate following you. So we actually have a lot of projects in the works right now. The Lincoln Park Dog Park and Playground is under construction, and we're expecting hopefully this fall. That will be our largest dog park by far at almost 6 acres. Lincoln Park. Lighting upgrades on the softball fields 1 through 4 and the 2 soccer fields have been awarded, so we will work with that contractor to get a schedule where they can make those changes without negatively impacting the tournaments and play out there. Christopher Columbus Park, which is a new baseball field and 2 soccer fields, that contract has been awarded, so we're reaching out to that contractor to see when they can get started. I'm expecting a groundbreaking probably sometime in late October, early November. Esteban Lighting, the lights have been in place for several months. We had a little challenge with TEP getting the power upgraded there. That power has been upgraded. I think we can go out and test the lights here very soon, so those things will get used really quick.
They
did, yeah.
It's good. You want me to turn them on right now? Call somebody in the neighborhood?
Sure. No, it's not dark, so don't bother. We received bids back for the Fort Lowell Splash Pad and Bath House. Those bids are back. We will look to award those here in the next 7 days. We have bids back for 2 playground replacements, so that will also get awarded here in the next couple of days. And we have out to bid 2 more splash pads, Freedom Park and Jesse Bowman's Park. Those bids are due back October 10th. And then we've got a groundbreaking at Joaquin Murrieta, I believe, on October 24th, which should already be on your calendars. If not, Sierra will send it back this meeting. Appreciate listening.
So that's my report. The capital plan report is here. There we go.
Mm-hmm. All right. So first, we have our Who Bash coming up. That's our citywide event at Lincoln Park on October 21st. Our new pool hours start October 1st from our, so we had summer and then we had extended season and now we just have winter. So those are going online the 1st. Splash pads close October 31st. So cold, go in there, get out some splash pads. We're currently advertising for an inclusive hiking club through our TR program that was introduced last week. And so signups are happening right now. Signups also started on Monday for our fall break for all the TUSD and Sunnyside kiddos. They all started a couple weeks ago because their schedule was wonky. So we're doing a sold-out camp for them too, but it's just different. Thank you. And then we had our fall showcase for Ready, Set, Rec last Saturday at La Madera Park. There was like 200 or 300 people. Wow. It was really, really good. And it was just a flow of people coming through and people with their dogs, and they walked over from their houses. It was really, really nice. The staff did a really good job. We have two aqua pumpkin patch events happening at our pools, one at the Ark, October 14th. And one at Summit Center, October 15th, pumpkins float. Didn't know if you knew that. And so the kiddos jump into the pool, grab their pumpkins, do some decorating, playing some games, eating, doing all that good stuff. Oh, yep, that's cool. I know, it's fun. And then for a couple more days until September 30th, we currently have a survey out. I don't know when you guys walked in. You saw that. Yeah. And it's just one of our strategic planning committees that are part of their goals to meet for their deal, for their group. And it's been out for 30 days. We're just trying to collect some information about programming and what they want and what age groups and size of town and all of those things. So if you haven't filled it out, do it and send it to your family. And then next week, we do have a new recreation superintendent starting. Did I steal your thunder?
No, it's fine.
Okay. His name is Dean Hoskin, and he's coming to us from way of Chicago. So he starts on Monday, and he's super excited, and we're super excited. So we'll try to introduce him the next book. You know, Charles Fellows.
Thank you, Donnie.
And I wanted to I know Quincy Douglas has their drive-through there. They're doing their trunk-or-treat pick. It's not drive-through this year. They're doing trunk-or-treat.
Trunk-or-treat.
So theirs is October 28th.
October 13th.
I saw it
on a day.
Friday the 13th.
The day before.
Friday the 13th, really?
I know.
Yeah, volunteering.
Yeah.
Just saying.
I know. That's why they're doing it. Yeah.
For farms, we've got a couple of things happening. We've got the Hermosillo Nonheros here as part of the Mexican Baseball Fiesta for the next 3 weeks. I did confirm, did I say that right?
I thought there was a Nonheros.
No, it's Nonheros. Anyway, the NC Dinos, the Korean baseball team, have confirmed they will be back again this year. We are doing a project or a program with Tucson Transportation and Parks, where we're doing a cleanup Tucson. So from October 16th to November 16th-ish, we'll be going out, and our section is Golf Links, Fantano, from Irvington all the way to Speedway. And we'll be going up, our crews will be going all the way up Fantano every Tuesday for 4 weeks to help with the cleanup Tucson. And just in case there's a government shutdown, Parks Maintenance is going to do their part. Arizona Conservation Corps has reached out to us, and they've got teams that are up in the Grand Canyon National Forest working, that if there is a shutdown, they won't have anywhere to work. So they'll be coming to Tucson on Tuesday, October 3rd. For at least 8 days, it could be 16, depending on 424 or maybe, anyway. We are going to take three teams as part of that, and they'll be doing landscaping throughout several of our parks. Lincoln, Columbus, A Mountain, we'll be doing cleanups, Himmel, so all throughout the city. And so we're going to have our staff create programs for them, and they do mainly landscaping, light tree trimming, path work. So we'll be doing some of that stuff as well.
Anyone else from staff? I want to commend Donnie and Mike. I heard every word you both said. Thank you very much for the audience who is online, because
we actually don't hear our voices at all.
Like here. Director's report?
Just had a few things. So next week, a group of us will be traveling to the National Parks and Recreation Association Conference. And City of Tucson will be representing a presentation and leading education sessions for two different time slots, back to back. I'm leading a session on giving yourself grace in a leadership role. And then Donnie, Sierra, and I are going to be doing a presentation on how the whole products division revamped, but also was able to successfully recruit enough lifeguards to get 20 pools open, compared to still a lot of national reports. That was an amazing feat. So we're hoping that we can share some of the secret sauces that we used, from marketing to constant engagement to just changing our whole perspective and attitude on how we do what we do. So we're looking forward to that, because I think it's a really nice thing when we get to go and lead sessions. It puts us in a positive light. And then also, so Donnie already mentioned, we have a new superintendent starting next week. We did lose a significant number or percentage of our capital team, but the good news is we have three new project managers that are on board, and two project managers that we're offering positions to this week, which then will actually not only fully staff us back, but the manager's office gave us an additional position. So we're increasing our capacity in that office, because we really want to make sure that all the 407 projects are, well, we're hoping to deliver the projects early, but the only way we could do that was some additional help. And then we just finished the oral board interviews for an administrator to come on board and assist kind of in a business administration role, but also to assist in a sort of chief of staff role to help me out with a lot of sometimes the fires that we have in the department, needing someone who has the capacity to track down special projects. So next week, Monday, we're doing the hiring interviews for that. And so by the next meeting, we'll be able to introduce you to that individual. So the good news is we have seen a pretty significant change when it comes to recruiting. A lot of our positions, when we're posting them out there, we're getting a lot of applicants. Compared to last year, where sometimes it was slim pickings, now we're having pretty robust numbers. And so that is definitely resulting in us having a higher level of confidence in the candidates that we're hiring, because we're getting to choose, be a little more selective. I don't know if the rest of the city is experiencing it, but I definitely am seeing it here. So I'm excited about that. Now, that would be all that I have.
All right. Thank you very much, Laura, and I appreciate you speaking very loudly and clearly, too, for the audience who is not in the room. All right. Item number 9, commission future agenda items and next meeting date. Obviously, the date is listed there as Wednesday, October 23rd of 2023 in the Recreation Administrative Office, the Mesquite Conference Room, right where you are. Does anybody have any future agenda items that they want to put on there?
Yes. In reference to the report or the letter that Jennifer Shoplin sent us, and I thank you for that, the Friends of Rio Nuevo or Rio Vista, the new project manager will be coming on, do you think, by next month? I just want to make sure that her request to make sure that they have all the information, the project manager has all the information that Rio Nuevo has put forward, including up surveys, and that we're kept apprised. So just an update on what's going on with them. Long story short, request an agenda item to update us on what's going on with that project. The Rio the Friends of Rio Vista, or the Rio Vista
Sure.
Anyone else have anything they want to put on the agenda for the October 25th meeting?
I have one. Steve.
Go ahead. I can't tell who that is.
That's Becky. Can you hear me? I will use my outside voice. Okay.
Okay.
I just want information on, I keep getting asked from people in the neighborhood regarding the fisherman pool splash pad. That's being requested often.
Sure.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Anyone else? I don't hear anybody responding or standing or waving or anything like that. I'm sorry? What?
The channel's up. We were discussing the request to be put on the agenda. I don't know what new information. We had a report today.
Right.
So,
of what's, you know, from the park side, and I would like to offer some significant information about the past 20 years, what's worked, and how to build community involvement in the dog park in the future, which has been missing.
Yeah, well, that is right up my alley.
It is what I've got.
I will request 10 minutes. For
November is fine. October, I'm ready.
In October, let's just get this done.
Oh, God bless you.
Let's get it done.
Okay. Very good. That will be on the agenda for the October meeting.
Yeah. Clarity on what's being requested.
10 minutes. Repeating this dead horse?
No. 10 minutes to present what's worked in the past.
Well, I think
what's present issues and what will work best, and how to increase community involvement. That's our focus: increasing community involvement.
Well, I think that that's something that we have had reports on, and Sierra has reported on how we engage the public, which I think is an extremely good plan that Parks and Rec has presented, and that is my passionate life. So I am very comfortable with what the city has set up for community involvement. I just don't know where to reach the looting dog park. May I talk with you so when something on the agenda next month or November?
That'd be great.
Because I am not comfortable with
just
even with that.
Yes.
I have a question about something which may not be but when I was looking over the Rivas of park design, I know that we talked about moving the glass recycle, and I wondered if we could come up and look around to see if there are other places that would be better suited for really not printed for that parking lot. Is there walking for that park? So small. And I was wondering if there's a park like La Madera Park. I know it's also a small park, but it seems like a better step up.
There's no parking lot there.
Yeah. How about if we come back with a recommendation?
Yeah, that would be cool. Then we need EGFD to lay it
out.
I'll
reach
out. Right.
It may not be possible.
Yeah.
There.
Whatever.
I kind of agree with you that all the parks aren't suitable for glass recycling because there's a lot of broken glass. Even at Mission Meadow Park, it's bad. It's really bad.
Yeah, I mean, if it's in a back quarter or something, you know, people aren't traversing through it a lot. That's one thing. But at Rio Vista, it's right at the front and right where people are coming and crossing to go to restrooms and kids' playgrounds and everything else. And the dogs are going through there. And it's a nice research park. It's quite loud. And they pick up that glass and they dump it. So it just interesting to see if there's another option.
I hope you have enough information there. I missed most of that last conversation, but Laura, do you and or Diana have the information that you need as far as creating the agenda?
Yes, we're good.
All right, very good. Anyone have anything else before we take a motion to adjourn? All right, I will entertain such a motion.
We'll make a motion, Steve.
This is
Becky.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
Robin, a second.
Thank you, Robin.
Steve.
All right. All those in favor of adjournment, please say aye. Or raise your hand or whatever you got to do. Any opposed? Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Like I said, I'll be there next month. In person so that I can hear what's going on. Thank you very much.
Safe travels, Steve.
You bet.
It's fine. No, good stuff.